Ramsey TV.
Good morning, everyone. I decided to give you the pixelated look this morning just to mix things up. Although I did take extra pains to straighten up my my counter here for you. Such is the love that I have for you. This is Martin Zender broadcasting from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Today, this morning, I'm going to tell you why God must change our bodies. We know that he's going to change our bodies, but you rarely hear, and maybe you've never heard, or maybe you've never concentrated on why our bodies must be changed, and it is a glorious truth. But first, well, exciting news here. Yeah. 2 days ago, I got a new toilet. I'm telling you, I love this toilet. It is amazing. Somebody wrote to me a few days ago, Martin, at this 10-minute, 20-second section of your video, there was this weird high-pitched, like, dog whistle sound. I think you're getting some electromagnetic interference. I think Satan's trying to mess with your show. No, that was the toilet trying to mess with my show. Because every now and then, the water continued to run for some reason. The interior stuff, I don't know what you call that. The toilet's mechanics. The mechanical toilet parts were not sealing. And the toilet would have to keep, like, amping up. And when the toilet amped up, it went, it made some squeak. Made some high-pitched, terrible noise. That's what you were hearing, my friends. So, things are looking up here. Because I have a new toilet. It's beautiful. The water swirls. Like, it's got this outlet at the top, and it comes down, and it's just, I've never seen anything like it. I'm just thankful to God for my new toilet. I have never been happier about a toilet. All right, let's go from toilets to being made immortal, shall we? Because I'm going to read a passage from 1 Corinthians 15 now. And I'm going to start at the commonplace where everyone starts. And for some reason, no one starts at the previous verse. I'm going to show you the previous verse. And when you see that verse, it's been in there for a long time. That verse has been in there for a while. But it hasn't been plucked bare of the fruit that it bears. Plucked bare of the fruit that it bears. This is why God did not write his revelation in English, because there's two meanings of the word bear. And there's a third one too, the thing that eats you in the woods. All right, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 15. You're familiar with this passage, but you're not familiar with the passage that goes before. I'm going to start in the commonplace. You ready? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Lo, a secret to you am I telling. We all indeed shall not be put to repose. Some of us aren't going to die. That's what I would have said. Some of us aren't going to die. Paul puts it a little more elegantly. We all indeed shall not be put to repose, yet we all shall be changed in an instant, in the casting of an eye. I changed that. The concordance says twinkle, which is the worst translation in the concordant version. I did a talk on that. Maybe I should do it again. That word should be casting, not twinkle. And it opens up a whole great avenue of spiritual truth. Do you want me to do that again? Let me know. I can do it tomorrow, maybe. So in an instant, we'll be changed in the casting of an eye at the last trump. For he will be trumpeting, and the dead will be roused incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and I'm going to tell you why it must before this show's over. And this mortal put on immortality. Now, whenever this corruptible should be putting on incorruption, and this mortal should be putting on immortality, then shall come to pass the word which is written, swallowed up was death by victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, yet the power of sin is the law. Now thanks be to God, who is giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, so that, my beloved brethren, become settled, unmovable, superabounding in the work of the Lord, always being aware that your toil is not for naught in the Lord. Man, I need to do a whole show on that. Your toil is not for naught. I got to make a note of that because you think that, see, the problem is God doesn't immediately recompense you for the things that you do, for the things you do for people because you love them, because God sheds his love abroad in your hearts, and you don't realize how many credits you have in your account, because God saves his recompense, saves his rewards until later. It's all deferred, ladies and gentlemen. It's all deferred. That's the frustrating part. And the frustrating part is the judgment of the wicked is also deferred. Dual frustrations. I did a talk on this in Alabama a few years ago. It's so frustrating. And Solomon talks about the frustration of this. I think it's in Ecclesiastes. He mourns that wicked people thrive, good people dive, and where's the justice? Well, justice is coming because all of this is deferred. The judgment for the wicked is deferred, and your rewards are deferred. It's frustrating, I know. This is where you put your faith and your trust in God, because you must be aware. And I am making you aware this morning that your toil is not for naught in the Lord. And because of that, I want you, and as always, I'm exhorting myself at the same time, because I'm in the same boat with all of you. Believe me. Because of that, we need to become settled, unmovable, and superabounding in the work of the Lord. It's accruing to your account. Oh, it's accruing with interest, the likes of which no one has ever seen. Where do you see the interest? On your toil. I have to encourage myself with this also. So, all right, here we go. Yes, a secret to you am I telling. We all indeed shall not be put to repose. We shall all be changed. And that's the passage people start at. And this wonderful passage about mortal becoming immortal. But this is why God has to change our bodies. Are you ready? Verse 50, the verse before. Now this I am averring, brethren. Aver, that's a strange word to us, but it means to state forcefully. Whenever somebody avers something, it's not like saying something. Why doesn't Paul just say, I'm saying this to you? Because it's more powerful than that, stronger than that. This I am averring, brethren, flesh and blood is not able to enjoy an allotment in the kingdom of God, and neither is corruption enjoying the allotment of incorruption. Let me suck the pulp from that piece of fruit. I think the key word here is enjoyment. God has our enjoyment in mind. Doesn't seem like it now. No, it does not seem like it now. Seems like he has our trial in mind. Seems like he has our humility in mind. Seems like he has our, some would say, destruction in mind. But no. He has your enjoyment in mind. And the suffering is working for you an aeonian burden of glory. The humiliation is doing the same thing. And it's the contrast principle, of course. When the glory comes, it's going to be such a sweet contrast. And here it is. And the only way we will be able to bear the joy, the only way we will be able to stand up to the glory, is if our bodies are changed. Because flesh and blood is not able to enjoy the allotment. This is why our bodies have to be changed, because in our present state, our bodies are not capable of containing the joy, of containing the happiness, of containing the glory. We saw that with Saul on the road to Damascus. He sees a light brighter than the sun, and it's the glorified Christ. And even then, Christ toned it down. Are you kidding? Of course, Christ toned that down. As bright as it was, it blinded the man. He was blind for 3 days. They led him by the hand to Damascus. His sight was restored by a man named Ananias. But this was just the briefest little hint of glory, and the man, a flesh and blood man, fell to the ground blinded. Doesn't sound like he's enjoying the glory too much. No, it doesn't. And right now, God can only give us the barest hints of glory and joy in store for us. Why? Because flesh and blood can't enjoy the allotment. Flesh and blood, these flesh buggies that we ride through life, they're not capable. They're not constructed to carry the weight of glory that is coming for us. Oh, they're well suited to trial. They're well suited to pain. They're well suited to disease. They're well suited to depression. They're well suited to degradation. Oh, they're well suited to all of that. Yes, perfect design. Perfect design for the humiliation. And that's the phase we are in now, a necessary phase. But God says, well, I'm going to turn the tables on these people. I mean, I'm going to take them to realms supernal. I'm going to bless them with glory supernal. And in order to do that, I have to change their bodies. That's why your body needs to be changed. How practical is that? These bodies are suited to humility, but they're not suited to glory. And that's why the change is coming.